The Sultan's Daughter. Sultan Mahmud had only one son, Ali. Mahmud was old and felt that he wouldn't live much longer. So he called Ali and said, "My son, before I die, I want you to prove that you have the wisdom and the courage to be my successor. Take this money and your horse and go out into the world. But don't stay away for longer than a year, because I am getting old, and I want to see you again before I die." Ali had hardly left his father's country when his horse fell ill, and after a few days, it died. Ali had to continue on foot, but he didn't mind. He wandered through the unknown land and saw the beauty of the world around him, with its forests and trees and all the creatures of the wild, and he was happy because he was young and full of zest for life. One afternoon, the weather suddenly turned foul, and Ali went to look for shelter in a house that was surrounded by trees. When he got closer, he saw that it was a mosque, but there was no one else there. Ali decided to spend the night there because the weather was too unpleasant for him to continue his journey. During the night, he was woken by muted blows so powerful that he felt the floor beneath him shudder. He quietly got up and tried to make out what was happening, but it was so dark that he couldn't see a thing. The thudding continued, and every now and then he heard people whispering close by. When it grew light, he saw that two men were digging up the floor of the mosque with pickaxes. As he watched them, they dragged out a skeleton from under the floor tiles. This was sacrilege! Ali couldn't contain his rage. Brandishing his sword, he rushed towards them. "Stop your evil deed," he shouted, "or I'll chop off your heads." When the grave robbers saw that he was alone, they grew defiant. "And what business is it of yours?" they asked. "I am Ali, son of Sultan Mahmud, and I will not allow such sacrilege, even though I am in a foreign land." The men addressed him more politely. "It may be sacrilege, but we are only taking revenge for what this man did to us. He owed us a large sum of money and died before he had paid it back. Is that not punishment enough? Do you think he is at peace in the world of the spirits when he thinks about that money?" "No, perhaps not. But that doesn't give us our money back," one of the men said grumpily. "That loan made us poor, and now he must be punished." "By taking revenge in this way, you are harming your own souls," said Ali. "But tell me, how much did the poor man owe you?"
500 coins.
"If I pay you on his behalf, you must promise me to lay his bones carefully back in the grave and to seal it up again." The creditors were only too pleased to agree. But when Ali had handed them the correct amount, there was nothing left in his purse. The next day, Ali was walking through the countryside singing aloud. His horse was dead and his purse was empty, but his heart was full because he had done the dead man a favor. While he was still walking along like this, a stranger caught up with him from the rear. "That's strange," thought Ali. "I looked back just now and there was no one on the road." But the man had a friendly face, and Ali liked him on sight.
"As-salamu alaykum," said the stranger.
"Walaykum salam," replied Ali.
"May I join you?" asked the stranger.
"Of course. Where are you going?"
Nowhere special. My name is Rajab, and I would like to travel with you for a while."
They walked on together until they came to a pitch-black mountain.
"Look how black the mountain is," Ali exclaimed.
"Do you think it's bad weather?"
"No," said Rajab. "That's just the color of the mountain. It's a strange mountain, this one. See that you never wander near it on your own. They call it the witch's house."
As they walked past the mountain, they came across a woman carrying a load of wood. As she drew close to them, she stumbled over a stone and twisted her knee, with the result that she couldn't walk any further.
"Poor woman," said Ali.
"What can we do to help her?"
Rajab dug his hand into his pocket. "I have just the right kind of ointment for her."
He rubbed it onto the woman's knee, and immediately she was better. "What can I do to express my gratitude?" the woman said.
"It won't cost you anything," said Rajab. "But if you like, I'll take those two fronds of bracken that you are carrying."
The woman was only too happy to give the bracken to him. Then she picked up her bundle of wood, said goodbye to the two friends, and went on her way.
"What do you want to do with the bracken?" asked Ali.
"It may come in handy," answered Rajab.
At sunset, they came to an inn where they decided to spend the night. After supper, they were sitting at the door of the inn, enjoying the cool mountain air, when a fakir came up and started to entertain the guests with his magic tricks. He was an exceptional fakir, because he could make his wooden puppets walk without using any strings. While the guests were still sitting and watching, a dog pounced on one of the puppets and tore the head from the body. The magician was furious because he could not fix the magic doll. He wanted to strike the dog with his sword, but Rajab intervened and said,
"Leave the dog, it doesn't know any better. Look, I will fix the doll in such a way that it will not only be able to walk again, but it will also be able to talk."
Rajab took his little jar of ointment, rubbed it onto the doll's neck and head, and stuck them together. And indeed, the doll started walking around and talking so much that even the fakir felt a little afraid.
"What must I give you for this?"
the fakir asked Rajab.
"It won't cost you anything," said Rajab. "But if you want to give me that sword, I would be happy to take it."
"What do you want to do with the sword?" asked Ali when they set out again the following morning.
"It may come in handy," replied Rajab.
In the distance, there appeared the minarets of a great city, and Rajab suggested that they visit it. Just as they came to the gate in the city wall, Ali heard a crystal-clear song in the air. He looked up and saw a snow-white bird soaring above them.
"Listen how beautifully that bird is singing," he said.
"Yes, that's a good bird. It's singing a poeji, a sacred song," answered Rajab.
The words had hardly left his mouth when the bird fell down dead at their feet. Rajab took the sword from its sheath, cut off the bird's wings, and put them in his bag.
"What do you want to do with the bird's wings?" asked Ali.
"They may come in handy," replied Rajab.
A colorful crowd jostled in the marketplace, bowing before a beautiful young princess who was riding through the masses on a chestnut stallion. Everyone remarked on her beauty.
"Where's that woman on the horse?" Ali asked one of the bystanders. "That's the Porteri, the daughter of the Sultan. She is the most beautiful woman in the country, but also the most cruel. Any man who wants to marry her must first solve a riddle which she poses. If he cannot guess the answer, he is put to death."
"I like the Porteri," Ali said to Rajab. "She may be cruel, but she has stolen my heart. Tomorrow, I am going to the palace to see if I can solve her riddle."
"All right," said Rajab. "But then let us go to bed early tonight. Your mind must be sharp if you want to solve the Poeteri's riddle."
Before they went to sleep, Rajab rubbed a little of his ointment on Ali's forehead.
"It will make you sleep well," he said.
Ali's head had hardly touched the pillow before he was fast asleep. Just before midnight, Rajab got up, strapped the wings of the bird to his shoulders, took the bracken twigs in his right hand, and flew out of the window to the Sultan's palace, where he landed in the garden and waited under a tree. When the clock struck midnight, the Poeteri came flying through her window on golden wings. She flew straight to a cave in the witch's house, without noticing that Rajab was flying behind her. As they flew, Rajab struck her with the bracken, but she didn't look round because she thought the blows were raindrops falling on her back. At the door to the cave, the Poeteri knocked, rat-a-tat-tat, and it opened. The witch was sitting in front of a fire, and the most gruesome creatures were crawling around her and over her.
"What is your wish?"
asked the witch. "It's been a long time since someone came to solve my riddle. They all want to come and guess, but they are afraid of death. Now, I know it won't be long before someone comes again, and I'm afraid that the answer to the old riddle may have slipped out. Who knows? Perhaps I have talked in my sleep."
"All right," said the witch. "If someone comes, you must tell him to guess what you are thinking about."
"Yes, but what shall I think about then?"
"Think of your Your gloves.
When the Poetairi flew back, Rajab was hot on her heels, and again he lashed her with the bracken. Then he went back to sleep next to Ali till the sun came up.
If the Poetairi asks you what she is thinking about, say she is thinking about her gloves,
Rajab said to Ali as he was getting ready to go to the palace. When the Poetairi saw what an attractive young man had come to solve the riddle, she liked him immediately and almost wished that he would get it right. But when he actually did, she jumped up angrily and said, "No, you must come and guess again. You can't have me that easily." That evening, Rajab put Ali into a deep sleep again, and at midnight, he flew to the palace. This time, he struck the Poetairi till the lashes showed across her shoulders. But she carried on flying till she came to the cave.
"And how did it go with the guessing?"
asked the witch.
"He guessed the right answer."
"Is that so?"
exclaimed the witch.
"You must be careful that that young man doesn't become your husband."
"Give me a riddle that he won't be able to solve,"
the witch said.
"Ah, ask him again to guess what you are thinking about, and then think of the golden crown on your head."
The Poetairi flew home quickly, but Rajab was right behind her and flogged her with the bracken. The next morning, Rajab said to Ali,
"If the Poetairi asks you what she is thinking about, then you must answer, about the golden crown that is on your head."
The Poetairi was sitting very proudly on a throne next to her father. This time, she thought, at least he won't guess the right answer. But when she heard the correct answer, she was very angry.
"You must come again," she said. "It can't be so easy."
"The condition was that I had to guess only once," said Ali. "But so as not to disappoint you, Poetairi, I will come again." That night, Rajab followed the Poetairi once more and thrashed her till her shoulders were bleeding and she could hardly fly any further.
"Now you must give me a riddle that no one on earth will be able to guess,"
she said to the witch.
"Huh. All right,"
said the witch.
"Think about my head." "He will never guess that."
The Poetairi flew back and collapsed in her room. So thoroughly had Rajab tackled her with the bracken.
"I am never flying to that creature again,"
she said, and she tore the golden wings to shreds. But Rajab flew back to the witch's house and knocked, rat-a-tat-tat-tat, at the door to the cave.
"Come in,"
called the witch from inside the cave. But when no one entered, she stuck her head out of the door. Rajab was ready for her. With one blow of his sword, he chopped off her head and stuck it in his bag. Then he flew back and went to sleep next to Ali.
"Take my bag with you,"
he said to Ali the next morning.
"When the Poetairi asks you what she is thinking about, take out what is in the bag and show it to her."
That morning, the Poetairi sat uneasily next to her father. Her shoulders were very sore, and she was tired of all the guessing.
"What am I thinking about?"
she asked Ali. Ali said nothing, and the executioner lifted his axe and looked at the Poetairi. But before she could give the sign, Ali took the witch's head out of the bag and showed it to her.
With a cry of joy, the Poetairi fell into his arms. "Now you don't have to make any more guesses. I will marry you." Great was the joy of the Sultan and his subjects, and the wedding was arranged immediately. But when Ali asked Rajab to be the best man, he smiled and shook his head.
"By the time that you are living with the Poetairi in the palace, I will be far away from here in my own resting place," he said. "Now that I have settled my debt, you may also know who I am."
"But who are you then? And what is the debt you are talking about?" asked Ali in amazement.
"I am the spirit of the man whose bones you protected from being disturbed. Farewell, my friend. I may not stay with you any longer."
Before Ali could say another word, Rajab had vanished. Then Ali went back to his father and told him everything that had happened. Sultan Mahmud traveled back with him to the land of the Poetairi and attended the wedding. Then He handed his throne over to Ali and died a peaceful death.